Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran, and I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Hey, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Well, in the last two broadcasts, I've turned my attention to the plight of people under terrorism, and especially talking about the terrorist attacks in London. And last broadcast, I talked to you about the Sharia law and the rally against the implementation of Sharia law here in the United States. And so today, I'm shifting my focus right back to my Iranian friends. I've been doing this kind of ministry for at least 6 years, and I've watched over those 6 years how everything has kind of been coming together, if you will. And my focus has really been on telling the stories of my Iranian friends in their struggles for freedom. And in the last couple of years, I've focused mainly in on the plight of Iranian refugees. My latest book is the story of my dear friend Maral as a refugee escaping from Iran to Germany. Today, I want to be a voice for Iranian refugees all over the world to tell their stories, their struggles, their moments of despair and frustration. It was about 2 years ago that I came across this story on the internet about a young Iranian man whose name is Omid, and he found himself, among many other refugees, in a detention center outside of Australia. And there were horror stories about the treatment of Iranian refugees in this detention center. Lack of food and medical care, just bad conditions. And I think because of the frustration and the hopelessness, this one Iranian refugee, Omid, couldn't take it anymore. No interview, no adequate medical care, just frustration. And he did what many Iranian refugees have done in the past. To get attention, to just make a statement to the world. He set himself on fire and unfortunately died of his injuries a few hours later in the hospital. But it's the story of Omid and the many, many other stories of Iranian refugees that I want to share with you today. Now, in some cases, there are good endings, happy endings to the story of Iranian refugees. My good friend Mehrnoush, who I wrote in my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, fled from Iran to Sweden because of her abusive husband. And after many years of interviews and seeking the Lord, Mehrnoush was finally accepted and today is married, is living a good and happy life in Sweden. She is a dear friend, and it's her story that I wrote about. And today I want to share with you more stories of Iranian refugees, to be their voice, to tell their story. Just a few days ago, I came across an interview from CBN about a young Iranian refugee named Aidan Stranson, who is in a difficult situation in the UK. Unless her situation changes, she will be deported back to Iran. She has become a Christian. She left Iran because of the persecution and the fear. In some cases, when Iranian refugees are interviewed, either A, the person doesn't believe their story, or B, doesn't think them going back will be a danger to their lives. Such is the case with Aidan. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this interview. It's done via Skype, and you have to listen carefully because Aidan has a Persian accent, and the interview was on Skype, as I mentioned, and so you have to listen carefully. At some points, the audio is not as clear as possible, but please listen to this story. It is the story of many Iranian refugees who fear being deported back to Iran. And in the case of Aidan, she's a Christian. To go back to Iran would put her life in danger. I want you to hear this story and listen carefully to the story of Aidan.
Christian asylum seekers in Sweden continue to face deportation back to their Muslim nations of origin, where they could be jailed or even killed. Joining us now by Skype from Sweden is asylum seeker Aidan Stranson, an Iranian Christian who faces deportation. Aidan, thank you for joining us. How long have you been in Sweden, and what are you doing now?
I came to Sweden 3 years ago, and I searched asylum, but my asylum denied by immigration and Court of Immigration. I have a 2 times negative.
And you became a Christian after being a Muslim. What happened in your life? Why did you become a Christian?
I became Christian because I had so many experiences in Iran, and I understood how much is the difference between Islam and Christianity. I read the Bible, and I understood what Jesus said about the peace, about love, about kindness. And in my heart, I became Christian when I was in Iran. And there is so many differences between Islam and Christianity. And when I come to Sweden, I felt that it's a good time to change my religion, and I had a bad life.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the problem with the government? They don't believe that you're a Christian, or they don't care if you're sent back to Iran?
I had so many times interview in immigration, but they denied my request because the first time they said it's your personal decision. And after that, I had a request for Court of Immigration, but they denied again. They felt that they don't believe I'm in danger, and I think it was the reason.
Are you in danger if you're sent back to Iran? What could happen?
absolutely everybody know about the situation in Iran and in Islam, in Sharia. Converting religious is not acceptable, and punishing for this issue is death. And it's so hard situation have now Christian in Iran. And I as an actress in cinema, I was actress in Iran in cinema, and everybody know me. And I think I don't know why student immigration don't believe that I'm really in danger and in hard situation.
So this must be a really difficult time for you when you think of, that you might be sent back to Iran.
Yes, exactly. It's so hard, and I never was in a situation like that before. I don't know what will happen to me. I know it's punishing for me in Iran is death. And I'm in so hard situation, and just I think about the Jesus will help me.
Yeah. Has your attorney told you is there any hope this process can be stopped?
I don't know. I have it two times negative, and it's so dangerous. I face the deport, and I don't know what will happen. Just I have a hope to Jesus, and it's just my last hope I have in my life.
Aideen, I know that many will be praying for you when they see this, and we want to thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for your time today.
A very hopeless situation from Aideen, who is in Sweden. A few years ago, there was a similar situation with some Christians, and through much prayer and speaking out, their situation changed. And so I'm asking you to please remember Aideen in Sweden, that the immigration board will give her favor, would believe her story, and understand the very desperate situation she would be in if she sent back to Iran. The government of Iran refuses to allow Muslims to change their religion. If they convert to Christianity, they face the death penalty there. It's that serious. There's nothing written explicitly in their law that says you can't change their religion. But of course, this government is very radical. And when Ahmadinejad became president about 14 or 13 years ago in Iran, he began a personal crusade about snuffing out Christianity in Iran. And since that time, when ex-Muslims become Christians, their lives are in danger. And so that would be the case for Aideen if she went back to Iran. And she sounds like her last hope is Jesus, but he is our hope. And he is the one that hears our prayers and cries and can deliver us. There is a particular psalm that I wrote in my book, The Cross in the Desert, that I pray daily for my Iranian friends. And it's from Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. And as you think about Aideen's situation, maybe you can use this psalm in praying to the Lord about her. I want you to hear the words of this psalm, Psalm 72, verse 12. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to them. Beautiful words, beautiful promise from the Bible. Please remember Aideen and her situation, and that God would work powerfully in her situation, and that she can stay in Sweden. And like my friend Mayor Noosh, she will find a very good lawyer who will plead her case, that how dangerous it would be for her to be deported back to Iran. I want to share now the story, the very, very sad story, of an Iranian refugee and his very fatal experience in a detention center in Australia. Because of the deplorable conditions there, He eventually died of disease. And this is a horribly tragic story from about 2 years ago. But I want you to hear his story right now on the cross in the desert.
After being declared brain dead in a Brisbane hospital, the family of Hamid Karzai chose to turn his life support off on September 3rd. But a report leaked today showed that the 24-year-old did not receive proper medical attention because the Australian government delayed issuing a visa for his evacuation. Nicole Judge, a former employee at Manus Island, described the sickly conditions Hamid was held in.
People would attempt suicide on a daily basis. They would self-harm. They would complain to me about how they want to end their life. There was a lack of medical, it was hot, there was always a stench of feces and raw sewage. It was just prison-like.
Hamid presented himself to medical staff on the island, but was only evacuated to Australia 4 days later after his condition had deteriorated and was said to be moaning in pain. The document revealed that the Australian government ignored the urgent request of medical staff, even though they were told his condition was life-threatening. In February this year, Reza Barati, another Iranian asylum seeker, was bashed to death by staff and locals at Manus Island. His death was widely condemned by human rights groups and sparked demonstrations across the nation. Last week, Australian Parliament approved changes to immigration laws to remove the chances of any refugees being resettled in Australia permanently.
Australia has for a long time shown that it doesn't care about the international obligations that it's shown up to. More importantly, though, it's shown that it has no interest in justice for refugees, and I think that's what the Australian public is most concerned about.
The death of Hamid Karzai in Brisbane.
Refugee groups say the Australian government bears the responsibility for the deaths of Hamid Karzai and Reza Barati, and have called for the resignation of Immigration Minister Scott Morrison. But with Morrison's newly acquired powers, and the Australian government further distancing itself away from the UN Refugee Convention, that seems to be an unlikely outcome. Reem Saker, Press TV, Sydney.
This is a very, very serious and tragic situation. This is the same location where Ahmed set himself on fire and ended his life a couple of years ago. But this is the story of Hamid Karzai, 24. He cut his foot and developed a disease before being moved to the mainland for treatment and had a heart attack before being declared brain dead. And Immigration Minister Scott Morrison confirmed that this man died after his family provided consent for withdrawal of his life support. It's very, very sad that somehow the Australian government is failing in their mission with Iranian refugees in this particular situation. And it should not have happened. There should have been immediate medical treatment for this situation. And there is a lot of injustices going on that needs to be changed. But such is the plight of Iranian refugees who are fleeing Iran, looking for a new place for freedom from oppression, from discrimination, from death, from hanging. And they come to the UK, in some cases Sweden, and in other cases Australia. But this is a very, very tragic story. And something needs to be done there in Australia to change the situation that, A, Iranian refugees and any refugees are given prompt medical care and better living conditions as they await interviews and implementation into society or assimilation. Speaking about Iranian refugees dying in tragic situations, recently in the UK, an Iranian refugee was attacked simply because he announced that he was an asylum seeker. And this took place in the UK, which recently has been the location for many terrorist attacks. I want you to hear this story of an Iranian refugee who was attacked in the United Kingdom. Let's listen.
Welcome back. In the UK, several people have appeared in court in connection with a hate crime attack that left a teenage asylum seeker fighting for his life. Iranian victim Rekar Ahmed was chased and subjected to what police described as a brutal attack after a gang discovered he was an asylum seeker. Kamalia Shambari reports from London.
There have been reports of a rise in hate crimes in the UK since the Brexit vote, and the 17-year-old Iranian Reka Ahmed was one of the latest victims. Ahmed was hospitalized after a brutal attack on Friday while he was waiting for a bus with his friends near a pub in Croydon, a town in the south of London. Five people appeared in court on charged with violent disorder, with one facing an additional charge of racially aggravated grievous bodily harm. The five defendants will appear at Croydon Crown Court for a plea and trial preparation hearing on May the 1st.
The victims were set upon because they were asylum seekers. That was specifically mentioned during the attack. I haven't seen an attack like this in a number of years, and certainly nothing in London. This was just appalling, and the level of violence was used was just unnecessary and just shows a real hatred with those involved.
It was here at this bus stop where the Iranian teenager was waiting before he was brutally attacked on Friday night, leaving him with serious injuries. Police say that a gang of up to 30 assailants were involved in the incident and that a number of them launched the attack after finding out that he was an immigrant. Prime Minister Theresa May condemned the attack, calling it despicable and unacceptable, but many would blame her government's controversial stance on refugees and immigration for growing racial tensions.
I think also we need to redouble our efforts to make sure that the likes of Theresa May and other people in positions of authority see the connection between many policies. When you stoke up hatred against the others, when you stoke up hatred against immigration, you blame people from outside for the problems that we may have, then that's going to start to breed that sort of culture.
Ahmed remains in hospital with a fractured skull and a blood clot on his brain. Reports say he will be scarred for life with injuries to his face. Camelia Shambayati, Press TV, London.
Very sad and tragic story. Nothing like this should ever happen simply because you're an asylum seeker. But those are the plights, and these are the difficult, difficult, traumatic situations that Iranian refugees seek simply for looking for a new homeland. And most Iranians never want to leave their home country. They love their home country, the beautiful history, the sights, their friends, their families, but they leave because of the government is a dictatorship. It's very oppressive to them, and it breaks many of their hearts to have to take their clothes and leave their homeland where their friends and family are living, and simply because of the oppression by this dictatorship government. It's the hardest thing for Iranians to have to leave, and yet when they try to find asylum in another country for freedom, this is the way they're treated. And it's absolutely unjust, and it should never be that way in any situation. Well, music plays an important role in the lives of many people, and Iranians love music. A lot of my Iranian friends love the music of Pink Floyd, of Metallica, and they love it because in Iran, if you're a musician in a rock band, you can't play rock concerts. It's against the law. A couple of years ago, some Iranians made a video to a song by Pharrell Williams called Happy. And they were arrested for making this video to a song about happiness simply because they were dancing together, men and women, on a rooftop. Women were not wearing their hijab, and it's against the law for men and women to do this together. There's a segregation of sexes in Iran. And so men and women can't hold hands unless they're married. They can't dance together. Women can't sing with men in rock bands. There are so many oppressive laws. Well, there is one particular band in Iran that had to flee their country because of performing rock concerts, and this is their story, the story of an Iranian rock band seeking asylum.
A very different side of the Islamic Republic. This was said to be Iran's first unauthorized rock concert since the revolution 30 years ago. The group is known as Font. This event 2 years back was shut down by the militia. The young musicians were jailed. Their music is described by the authorities as satanic.
They rushed in something like hundreds of soldiers and police cars. They rushed in and they arrested people. Many got away, and 250 got arrested in this raid. And we went to, we were jailed in prison for 21 days.
Today, the group is holed up in a tiny West London flat in Europe to play summer music festivals and promote a new film in which some of them star. They're now terrified of going home.
For me, well, the risk is higher because I'm a woman, and singing is forbidden in Iran for females, and I have been singing in the film, and I have done concerts, and like pushing back the hijab thing, and these are all things that are considered wrong and against the morality and against the values of the Islamic Republic. So I think that I'm going to get punished for that.
Full of faults and faults.
Their drummer returned a fortnight after the election, was arrested and beaten. He's still being held by the authorities. Monday sees the group formally ask British authorities for asylum. It is, they believe, their only chance to continue playing their music freely.
What I do is to bring peace, not only with in Iran, but Iran and the other countries. For other countries to not consider Iran a threat, and for Iran not to consider its people a threat. That's the main goal.
This is a group hoping for a permit to stay on and play on. Hamish McDonald, Al Jazeera, London.
It's very hard for us living in the West in freedom to understand the mindset, the philosophy of this government that prohibits happiness. When you think about it, happiness is a crime in Iran. And this is an article I wrote in my book, The Cross in the Desert, the story of this filmmaker and these actors and actresses who did a video parody of Pharrell Williams' song, Happy, a song about happiness. And they stood on the rooftops and it was filmed. They were dancing together, men and women. And of course, the government found out and discovered this video. They were brought before Iranian TV and they were made to apologize and later were publicly flogged for making this video. And you can understand now why this rock band wants asylum in the UK. They're terrified. If they go back, they will be arrested. Their drummer is still in jail simply for creative abilities done publicly. The arts are frowned upon in Iran. Dancing is frowned upon. It's such a sad situation, and it's hard for us to comprehend how people in the arts, filmmaking, dancing, rock bands, how this can be against the law in Iran, but it's because of the horrible, oppressive religion of Islam that is practiced there in Iran, where it's forced upon individuals that you better be a Muslim or else. You are not giving a choice or an opportunity to be what you believe, to do the things you like to do, because the government oppresses your life from birth to death. It's hard for us to understand because we've never lived in a society like that. But this is the reason why Iranians become refugees and have to leave their homeland because of this kind of oppression. I want you to hear one more story. This is the story of Nusin, who's a Christian asylum seeker. Her friend gave her a Bible, and as a Muslim, it changed her life forever. Let's listen.
I never, ever expecting to coming to the UK to apply for asylum. So I had to really get decision, what should I do, God? I have to go to Home Office and give up my passport and say, I feel scared to come back to my country. I'm Nusin from Iran, Tehran, and I born in the Muslim family in Iran. I graduated as a lawyer, so I was a very, very strict Muslim, reading Quran every day. I was always praying to God, and I said, God, what is your way? Where is your righteousness? And why just Islam is the best and latest religious? Why we born in Iran? Why we should to pray in Arabic? The Then when I went to university, I met a Christian woman. She gave me Bible. She said to me, Nushin, read this book. And I said, no way, this is Bible. I'm not going to read this. In Quran, they said Bible is not the right book. And I was reading, and when I got that challenge in my mind that is it the right things or not, I tried to go to her house and say, look, this is here, your Bible. Either God going to talk to me tonight and say Jesus is alive, as you said, and he's going to show himself to me. Or if it's not, here is your Bible, never talk to me anymore because you're trying to convert me. And when she started praying for me that night, I filling up with Holy Spirit and I get touched by Jesus, I think. And my journey with Jesus 12, 13 years ago starts from that story. Being as a Christian, living in Iran, it's not easy. But all my family is still there, working there and having, you know, completely normal lifestyle as a, like others. But underneath, we have a completely different lifestyle. You have this fear all the time. You feel like you're going to be arrested. You never could read your Bible in a train. You never talk in freedom to any others because you always think there's a spy or someone from government watching you, which we had. We've been at that situation. I love to be in Iran. I never want to leave Iran, but I couldn't anymore practice my faith. And there's something always was in my heart that, God, what is the freedom? What we have to do? I was traveling to Georgia and I met a friend. And then he invited me and said, Nushin, would you like to come and join me to the cycling journey around the world? So I had a flower, I had my job, everything. I sold everything and put everything in the two panniers and joined him and I started from Tajikistan, near 12,000 miles. I came to the UK in March 2016. It's not very common in Iran as a woman you're cycling around the world. So I had the profile in Instagram, which is get really popular because that was the only place I published my journey every day. And people get noticed that, oh, wow, woman do it. So I get lots of like, you know, suddenly. So when I came to the UK, I had a plan to come back to Iran, but because the European, you know, like France and Germany, because my Iranian passport doesn't give me visa here, so we only could issue our European visa in Iran. But because I couldn't back, so I didn't know what I have to do. So I was praying to God, what is the best decision to do? So at the end of my tourist visa, I had to really get decision, what should I do, God? And with the crying, feeling absolutely, you know, desperate to see what is the God will for me, I have to go to home office and give up my passport and say, I feel scared to come back to my country and I don't have money to go to other country. What can I do? And they said to me, look, the only thing now is to apply for asylum.
Well, the good news about Nusin is that she was eventually accepted. And she passed from just being an asylum seeker, and now she is living in the UK, and the Lord answered her prayers. And she was terrified to go back to her own country because being a Christian is a very dangerous, dangerous thing in Iran, as you well know. I want to breathe a little bit of fresh air into some of these stories of hopelessness here about Iranian asylum seekers. I want you to be blessed by the wonderful worship music of Hillsong, and this is an acoustic version of their latest video and CD project, Let There Be Light. Here's the music of Hillsong on the Cross in the Desert.
There's no darkness in your heart. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty, God of mercy. There's no striving in your grace, God of mercy. God Almighty, let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind, purify our hearts in your fire, breathe in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. No borders in your heart, no division in your heart, God of heaven, God of freedom, there's no taking back.
Come the light that shines in.
beautiful vocals of Brooke Fraser and Hillsong doing an acoustic version of Let There Be Light, letting the light of God's truth shine through the darkness and bringing hope and freedom is something my Iranian friends need so desperately. For the past several weeks, I've been reading my newest book, Finding Hope and a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom, which is the story of my best friend leaving Iran and becoming a refugee, traveling with a refugee group across thousands of miles of difficult terrain, the mountains of Turkey, and a rubber raft in the middle of the Aegean Sea into Germany, finding hope and a future. And when we last left off reading this book, we were in the middle of chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you a little bit more in my book. If you want to know the story of Iranian refugees, the danger, the peril, the difficulty they face, I highly recommend that you go to Amazon and purchase my book, Finding Hope and a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. It's a true story. It's an amazing story. But it's a story of hope and a story of freedom. And through the eyes of Maral, you will find out what life was like in Iran, and how difficult it was for her to leave her family and her home, but she had to, or else faced arrest and imprisonment. Maral's story is the story of many Iranian refugees. Unfortunately, some of their stories have a very difficult and sad ending. In the case of Maral, it has a good ending. I want to read to you from Chapter 7 of Finding Hope in a Future. I looked down at my cell phone. It was now 2:30 p.m. In 20 minutes, I would begin work at the hospital for the evening shift, which lasted until 11 p.m. I leaned back in my chair at the cafeteria and took a quick gulp of Dr. Pepper. Friday had finally arrived, and I was looking forward to a nice, peaceful, and relaxing weekend after pushing a trash cart all week in housekeeping. Suddenly, I received a notification from WhatsApp. It was an incoming call. Looking down at the name, I leaned forward in my chair, absolutely astonished. It was Maral. Quickly pressing down on her name, I put the cell phone up to my ear. Maral, is that you? I shouted. I could hear the sound of someone coughing and then struggling to compose herself. Maral began to speak. Yes, this is Maral. How are you, Randy? How am I? I shouted back. What? I excitedly replied. What about you? Where are you? Are you all right? Yes. Yes, don't worry. Parham and I are fine. We are on Samos Island in Greece. Greece? I replied. Why are you there? What is happening? Your sister Farzane said that you left Iran. Yes, we had to. The police came to my parents' house. I don't know why, but my brother told me they confiscated my laptop. Tears of joy flooded my eyes. I was so thankful to hear Maral's voice for the first time in many months. I'm so thankful to God that you are finally out of Iran. I've been praying every day for you. Don't worry, Maral said, trying to reassure me. We are safe now. We are on our way to Germany. Thank you, dear Randy, for your prayers. God is listening to you. We met a priest on the island, and he bought us food and clothes. Maral paused from talking, fighting a coughing spasm once again. I didn't like the sound of her cough and became very concerned. Maral, can you see a doctor to get some antibiotics for that cough? Maral regained her composure and began talking once again. Not yet. I hope I can very soon. I just called to tell you that we are safe and all right. I'm so sorry if I worried you. No, no, I said, interrupting Maral. I'm just so happy to hear your voice. Please keep in touch and let me know how you're doing and if I can do anything to help you. Just please pray for us, Maral replied. We still have a long journey before getting to Germany. I relaxed and took a deep breath. Yes, of course I will pray. I will pray every day. Jesus will be with you every step of the way, and I know he will get you there safely. I hope, Maral answered confidently, fighting her cough once again. It's very late here. I must go now, Randy. Thank you so much for calling, dear Maral. I love you. You will always be in my thoughts and prayers. I heard a click as the call ended. Our conversation had ended. Leaning back in my chair, I took a final gulp of my Dr. Pepper and bowed my head in gratitude, thanking God for the good news. Today would be a much easier day at work for me. Maral's phone call had given me peace and reassurance that God was keeping his promise to her. I want to stop there and continue reading chapter 7 in our next broadcast, but I wrote my part of the story because this was so personal for me. As you read this book, you will notice it's not just the story of Maral in Iran and Maral traveling to Germany. It's also, in a way, my story of my deep and dear friendship with her. And her journey was constantly in my prayers and the prayers of many others. And I'm so convinced that God kept his promise to give Maral a hope and a future. And as we speak, I've sent her copies of the book, and when she receives them, she's going to share them, one with the teacher of her language class, and she's going to take pictures of the other books and share them with her friends. And I'm just so happy to tell her story. It has a good ending. I want to now share with you the story of my other dear friend, and her name is Peymaneh. She is an Iranian Christian refugee. She has been in the country of Malaysia for the last 5 years, waiting for an interview that will transport her to a country of her choice for freedom. Her brother lives in Australia, and so there has been back and forth correspondence that hopefully the UNHCR will give her another interview and help her be processed so she can go to be with her brother in Australia. I was hoping she could come here, but right now there is a ban on refugees that is going through the court systems, and if the court approves this presidential ban, it would be a long time before Peymaneh could come here. And so her best situation is possibly going to Australia. Peymaneh is such a unique friend. She has written many human rights stories for my program here, and I've read many of them for the last couple of years on my broadcast. And it was a couple of years ago that she wrote something about Iranian refugees, and she wrote it in her own words, and I kind of reworked the wording of it into English to help smooth it out. And so we wrote this short little story together, and it's called Please Don't Deport Me. Now, what I've been sharing with you today on the broadcast is the fear that many Iranians have of being deported back to Iran. And in some cases, they are sent back, and then we never hear from them ever again. And likely they've had to go in hiding because they've become Christians, and in some cases they are arrested and then imprisoned. It's just a sad and tragic story. But I want you to hear this short little blog, which really Peymaneh is summing up in so many words what Iranians are feeling like in a situation where they face deportation back to Iran. We worked on this story together. It's short, but it makes the point. I want you to hear Iranian friend Peymaneh as she is writing a letter to the immigration board. And let's listen. I am writing to you who have the power, to you who have the authority, to you who use your authority to support your nation, to you who keep your country as peaceful as possible. I am writing to you who think that I am like my government, to you who think that I am a terrorist, to you who think I want to wipe out civilization and destroy it instead of improving it and bringing beauty, happiness, and welfare to the world. I am writing to you to plead with you, to try and convince you I don't like the Iranian government. I am not like my government. Iran. Iran doesn't exist anymore. There is only a piece of that land that is left covered by the blood of mullahs. I am writing to you who makes the decision whether to allow me to remain in your country or not, to you who can change my life by writing a short statement, to you who can send me back to Iran into the hands of mullahs to be jailed, executed, or to rot in prison for the rest of my life. I am writing to you. I am not an imposter. I am not trying to Islamize the world. Even though I cannot prove that to you, I am not like the terrorist in Sydney. I'm not even a Muslim. Instead, I'm a child of the King, a Christian. I have gospelized the world by spirit, by love, by kindness, not by war, not by force. I don't want to Islamicize the world. I'm a Persian, an Iranian, the descendant of Cyrus the Great, the king who wrote the first charter of human rights over 2,000 years before Muhammad. You can send me back, supposing I will be safe, but I will be killed. Every single gospel preacher who loses their life or is kept in jail, the opportunity of thousands of people's salvation is lost because of that. Every single Bible that would be translated is stopped. The opportunity for millions of people to read the good news is lost because they are rotting in prison. You can send me back, but I am more than just an individual. I am a nation. I am Iran. I am tired, hopeless, hungry, thirsty, desperately searching for the truth. You can send me back, dead or alive, but I have eternal life, and my nation desperately needs this life too. I want you to hear a little bit about the author, Payman A. I am an Iranian lecturer, teacher, and translator, but previously I also wrote for journals. I love writing and making short films. I love to write about romance, love stories, and the greatest love story between God and his people. It is also my duty to use my gifts and talents to stand up against hate and cry out for their freedom. I want to do my best to reach them with the gospel in spite of the barriers and limitations. I want the world to know about the true Iranian, to know their faces and the human rights atrocities they have suffered for the past 38 years. My biggest dream is that Iranians will know the truth and turn their hearts to Christ for true salvation, freedom, and happiness. Payman A. Sabet in Malaysia. Well, I can't say enough good about my dear friend Payman A. She is a voice of hope for Iranians. Writing in a Muslim-dominated country like Malaysia, it's a dangerous place for her. And she says in this short little letter, I am not a terrorist. She's trying to convince the government, I'm a Christian, not a Muslim. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not like my government. So please don't think that I'm here to cause terrorism and to kill people in your country. I'm here in asylum seeking a new country because of my Christian faith. And if I go back to Iran, I could likely die in prison. And then what use am I? I can't translate the good news of the Bible to Iranians. I can't do anything. When you send me back to Iran, I will rot in prison. And my dear friend Payman A. is busy writing another featured story, which I'll share on my next program. And it's a story of Iranian refugees, which is what I've been sharing with you today. I want to go back to this short little Bible promise that I quoted to you earlier from Psalm 72. I want you to know that our God hears the cries of the hearts of the oppressed. It says here in Psalm 72, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. God is a God of justice, perfect holiness, perfect righteousness. He understands the heart of the oppressed. He delivered his Hebrew people from the clutches of Pharaoh in Egypt. And you know the story of the Exodus. Through the parting of the Red Sea, he brought them over on dry land and drowned the chariots of the Pharaoh, brought them into a land of milk and honey so they could worship him. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. You know, God understands pain. Why do I know that? Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, came, lived a perfectly sinless life, and then died on a cross to forgive us of our sins. He understands the pain. He understands the feelings of separation. He understands the hurt because in his flesh he bore the scars for our salvation. So God understands evil. God feels pain. It says he will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Your life is precious to God. He says that he will rescue you when you cry out to him. He will help you who are oppressed when you have no one to stand up for you. He understands your feelings. He feels pity, the Bible says, for the weak and needy. And he promises to rescue you. This is our God. This is why many Iranians have walked away from the oppressive religion of Islam to find hope and freedom in Christ. Today on my program, I've shared with you some very tragic, hopeless stories of Iranian refugees struggling to find peace and freedom. And in some cases, when they go to a country like the UK, they're beaten because they're an asylum seeker. And in some countries like Australia, because of the deplorable conditions at a detention center, they end up dying from disease or take their own life because they're broken and hopeless inside. And so I hope that you will join me in being their voice. I hope that you will join me when you see postings on my Facebook page to pray for their freedom, to pray for their salvation, to pray they will soon have a new country after they go through the process of being a refugee or an asylum seeker. Today, this program has been the voice of many Iranian refugees. Please keep them in your prayers. Please understand they want something that you and I take so for granted for, and that is they want freedom. And remember, freedom for them can be just a prayer away. So please remember them in your prayers. I hope to see you very soon again on the next Cross in the Desert. God bless you. I will see you Monday on my next episode of the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible weekend.
There's no darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty. God of mercy. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in